Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go. It's Friday. It's a little earlier than normal, but this is still Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And then anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a new one tomorrow morning. But you can swing over there any other time just to see what else, what other content has been added. And, of course, you know the deal. Now, when you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's. So I wanted to bring this up before we really got into anything. I thought it was just kind of a fun story. I'm sure you've seen it. This Super Bowl, young Canadian tennis, no, a 20-year-old Mizzou student named John Gorky. What did he do? He made a bet to Canadian tennis player Jeannie Bouchard that if the Patriots win, she would go on a date with him. I don't know the whole logistics behind the whole thing, but they won, and she ended up or he ended up taking her to a Brooklyn Nets game, and now he's got a second date.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of story yesterday. If I remember correctly, she tweeted it like halftime of the game and said the Patriots were never coming back. So he replied to her and said, hey, if the Patriots win the game, you know, will you go on a date with me? And, you know, she, of course, said, oh, yeah, no problem, thinking, you know, there was no way the Patriots were coming back. No team had ever done it, and you know, you and I both know, we watched it in your living room. They came back, they won. And yeah, she paid off the debt. She was very, I saw him oddly enough on your favorite show yesterday. They were on TMZ. And she was very complimentary to him, talking about how he ended up being a normal person and he wasn't some weirdo and, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, hey, who knows? Maybe they found true love now, and that's, you know, you gotta win a bet.
Yeah, the only thing I will say is that they went to a basketball game. I guess I'm assuming she must have had a hookup on tickets. But if you see the picture, which I just retweeted at Sports Time Radio, you can see it on the Facebook page. You know, he's dressed like a normal guy, and she's got this huge, obnoxiously long, I hope it's a faux fur coat on. So it looks a little ridiculous in that.
Yeah, you know, it was a Brooklyn Nets game. Do you really need a hookup to get tickets for that?
Yeah, I guess not.
So,
it's
called
Jay-Z,
you know.
Right?
Yeah. Well, no, didn't he sell? I think he sold his shares of the team, but, you know, I'm sure he still got a nice connection there. Need it. So, but yeah, you know, that's, you know, it's always fun when, you know, they actually pay, you know, they pay off. You know, a lot of times, I can't remember. I know there was one celebrity. Actually, I think it was Aaron Rodgers who lost a bet and was supposed to wear some other jersey, and then after losing, refused to do it. So,
well, I mean, at least LeBron showed up in Chicago and full cup gear, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, he was one of the guys who actually paid off. So, you know, that's cool.
I
don't have any bets up there like that.
Yeah, we obviously don't cover tennis a whole lot, and I mean, in the grand scheme of things, everyone knows who Serena and Venus are. I don't really know a whole lot about this young lady. Do you think this kind of helps boost her popularity, or maybe she did it to help get her name out there a little bit more? Following through?
You know, obviously it doesn't hurt that she's very attractive. So, you know, that definitely. But, yeah, to be honest with you, I had never heard of her until this little Twitter thing. I had no idea who she was, you know, and I mean, I know, you know, some of the, you know, the more top names. But
I know,
yeah,
but
so yeah, I you know, I was kind of like, you know, and her, I guess her name is, it's Eugenie Bouchard. And I don't
Eugene.
even know if she, you know, is she, I don't know if she's ranked, or let me see, I've got some rankings here. Let me see if I can pull them up. But yeah, I don't know, you know, much about her at all. Oh no, I don't want
No,
the
I
men's
mean,
rankings. Where's the women?
I just know how to say her name because it's French, Eugenie.
I could have called her Borchit, because you know that was our, you know, that was a guy who used to be the White Sox outfielder who was a complete bust. So okay, is this racist that they only have the men's rankings here and they don't have the women's? There we go. Let's see if this will get it for me. There we go. Okay, let's see if I can find her here, Dan.
Number
Yeah.
47 in the world.
Maybe we should sing a song. She's not 47 on this list. This is
No,
the
I'm looking.
WTA.
I'm on
And
Wikipedia.
yeah,
Number 43 is eight.
they don't have her. They don't have her in the top 100 on this WTA list. This is the 2017 Women's Tennis Association rankings. And she is nowhere to be found in the top 100. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the publicity will help her out. You know, obviously Serena is number one. You mentioned Venus; she's 12. But yeah,
Wow, I didn't
I
know
want
there
to
was
go
no big
through it
difference,
all.
right?
Yeah, I want to go through it one more time here just to make sure I didn't miss her. But oh no, there she is. I did find her. She's 44 on this list. So I must have skimmed past her the first time. Yeah, she's one ranking behind Christina McHale. I'm sure you know who she is, Dan. And then one ahead of Yaroslava Shevdova. So there you go. Interestingly enough, Dan, at number 47, there's a tennis player named Monica Puig. Don't know if they're any relation, but there you go. So.
Yeah. Now I forget Yasiel's wife's name, or I don't know if they're married, if it's just a girlfriend.
Yeah, you know that's where
But
she is. I don't know. Let me see if it'll give me her career record or anything. We can see if she's she has no singles titles to her credit. Oh, in 2017, it looks like she has one career title win. And she's 217 and 139 overall, and 5-3. Yeah, she won a title in 2014, but it doesn't say which one it was. So, but she has made $5 million in prize money since 2012.
pretty good for her.
So there you go.
Some of the
And yeah, you
some of the air.
she's 22, 22 from Canada.
Some of the action shots they throw up of her on Bing are pretty hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, just you know, like I said, I think it's cool she paid off. You know, I mean, you know, but other than that, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, here we go.
Yeah, lucky
But
him.
you know, right? Yeah, you know, yeah, it happened to him, didn't happen to me. She probably wouldn't have showed up if it would have been me, so that's okay. You know, I probably wouldn't have showed up either. You know
Yeah,
what I
we're
noticed
set.
right away here, Dan, in spring training is why is everybody getting hurt?
Oh, I must have been busy today. What happened?
Well, the Yankees lost one of their prospects, Taylor Austin, with a broken foot. He's going to miss 6 weeks. Adrian Beltre is going to miss 3 weeks with a strained calf, and your guy Adrian Gonzalez can't swing the bat yet. He's got a inflammation in his right elbow, and they're saying they believe he's only going to miss a week, but you know it may be longer, obviously, depending on how the elbow responds to treatment. So it's a couple big names there right off the bat. I mean, that's not a good start for teams.
I mean, does that mean he's not playing for Mexico this year?
Yeah, it's uncertain if he's going to play. You know, again, they're basically all they're all saying it depends how the elbow responds to treatment. Beltre is out with whatever team he was going to play for. I don't know if he's, you know, if he's on the Dominican team or if he's on the Mexico team. He removed himself from the World Baseball Classic. But yeah, Gonzalez. Let me pull up the article and see if it says anything more about him. Possibly. They describe it oddly, Dan, as tennis elbow. All it says here is we'll put Gonzalez's availability for the World Baseball Classic in jeopardy.
Well, I mean, if I'm the Dodgers and Dave Roberts and company, I'm advising him not to play.
Yeah, you would think, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, these guys really like to do this for, you know, their countries or, you know, whatever else they got going on. But, yeah, I don't think you should be playing. You know, it's definitely more important for him to be ready for the Dodgers opening day than it is for Mexico to win the, you know, the World Baseball Classic. So, you know, in case you didn't know, Dan, his brother Edgar actually managed the team. Oh, here you go. The doctors have given him orders to lay off it for 2 weeks, and then they will do some minor tests on it. So, that's where he is. So, yeah, not a, you know, maybe it's a good thing the Dodgers brought Chase Utley back just in case, huh?
Yeah, he can play a little bit of first base, right? But I thought they had a young kid up in their system. But I think we discussed they probably wouldn't bring him up yet, even if there was an issue.
Yeah, you know, and Andre Ethier can play first base as well. You know, I think he's done it a little bit. So they, you know, they would have some guys, be it, you know, if, you know, I doubt, seriously doubt this carries over into the regular season unless there's really a problem. I think the bigger concern might be Beltre, you know, because he's going to miss a big chunk here, you know, 3 weeks, and he is 37. So, you know, that's a big hurdle there, especially when it's your legs.
Andre Beltre and Adrian.
Yeah, well, depends on, you know, when you talk to Mr. Fantasy and stuff, you know, on who, you know, who he actually is. So, you know, just one of those things we do. Now, you know, while we are talking about injuries here, Dan, you know, we always have to kind of figure out the, you know, the guys who are coming back, you know, and, oh, crap, it's one of those crappy insider articles. But the number, couple guys here to look for coming back, Dan, the top two guys they have ranked, Matt Harvey and then Michael Brantley. Are you now? You know, I was on the Harvey bandwagon last year. I thought he was going to come, you know, have a banner year, and, you know, let's face it, as a fantasy player, he was a bust because he was just hurt constantly. You know, I think July was the last time he pitched before he was out. Are you on the Matt Harvey bandwagon, or are you staying away from him?
I'm staying away from him. I know he probably take over that number one role again. But, I mean, I think the way things have gone, he significantly drops down to the three hole in that rotation and hopes to fight to stay there, right?
Yeah, you got to think, you know, that's where he belongs. You know, Syndergaard and DeGrom have clearly passed him. Obviously, Jake, you know, Zach Wheeler won't be a problem because he's hurt again. So, you know, he won't be an issue. And I doubt they would put Steven Matz ahead of him. But, yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think you can trust him as your number one. You know, you can't back this guy and just hope he's going to be healthy. I mean, there's just too many red flags in his, you know, on his player card right now. You know, and then Brantley's the other guy. You know, he had what was described as chronic tendonitis in his right shoulder. They finally ended up operating on him on August of 2016. But he played, I think he played five or 10 games or something like that last year. I know he didn't play very much. You know, he was supposed to be, you know, the big guy for the Indians last year. Oh, he played 11 games, just so I'm clear on that. You know, they still managed to get to the World Series without him. You know, now he won't be available for the start of games next week. So there's already one big, huge red flag. Where are you on Brantley, Dan? Are you buying him a little more?
No, and I mean, I was trying to run around and just check on Matt Harvey on the fantasy set, but it kind of bounced back. They have him ranked as like the fourth pitcher for the Mets, but Familia being in there. And as far as auction goes, they only rate him at being the dollar. So that'll be interesting when it comes to, based off a $250 budget. It'll be interesting when we come to the fantasy. But for Brantley, I mean, I feel like he's one that you kind of roll a dice on, don't you? If you take him, either it can go either way.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough call with this guy. You know, he's another guy. I mean, obviously, he's a really good player when he's healthy. You know, I mean, he's been a 300 hitter. He's got, you know, I would say 20 to 25 home run power, respectively. I don't think he'll ever be a 30-homer guy. But, you know, in that lineup, he could easily drive in, you know, 90 to 100 runs, depending on where they slot him. You know, the question is now, I mean, I guess you got to see how much of spring training he misses. You know, and then when, you know, or what he looks like when the time comes. So, yeah, you know, it's just weird.
You know, they had him ranked to go for about $1 or $6. And as I scroll through, and this is off of MLB.com and their fantasy profile ranking, and this is the league as a whole, you know, batters and pitchers. And where is it just batters? I got up to 70, and he's not even in the top 70. So, I mean, you've got to wonder if he still has what it takes. I mean, they were talking like this guy would have put them over the edge to – they would have won the World Series if he was playing with them.
You know, it would have – you know, it would have been interesting to see how – you know, that all would have worked out, you know, but, you know, nothing you can do now. You know, I found a couple of other guys here. You know, Albert Pujols is still coming back from that right foot surgery. There's a chance he misses opening day. Where are you on Albert? You still a big Albert fan?
I think the respect level is definitely still there. You know, I think he's another guy, if you can get him late in the round, if, you know, we're talking fantasy. I mean, where would you see him? Maybe, you know, after the 10th round, if he's still out there, be a viable option. And as far as, you know, auction goes, you know, thinking about it, I right now my max would be maybe 10, 20 bucks, but, you know, it paid off for me last year with paying $13 for all this Chapman missing 30 days. I'm going to rub that in Bill's Mr. Fantasy's face every year.
But he wasn't hurt, to be fair. You know, he wasn't coming back from injury. He was just coming back stupid. So,
yeah,
you know, Pujols is interesting. I mean, you know, obviously his talent has declined. I believe he's 37. So you got to expect that to go. I think he's only got, about 10 years left on that contract. No kidding. But I know he's got a few years left. Yeah, you know, you start to wonder where you rank him. I mean, I'm not even sure he's a top 10 first baseman anymore, is he?
No. I mean, I thought he was exclusively a DH now.
Yeah, well, I know he still plays some first base. So, I just don't know how productive he's going to be. I mean, he still seems to have power. You know, so it still looks like you're going to get, if he gets enough at bats, it looks like you're going to get your 30-plus home runs out of him. You know, maybe he gets you to 100 RBIs, depending on how the Angels score. But, I don't know. There seems to be just a lot of other guys I would probably have in front of him. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of guys. I mean, I think if we're talking first base, you know, a guy you just brought up, Adrian Gonzalez, still sits in front of him. I mean, I'm trying to find one of your favorite websites, but I don't remember which one it is. Major League Lineups.
Oh yeah, I forgot what that one's called. I get it off the MLB Trade Rumor site. It's the one you get from the link when you give depth charts. So.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, the first one that came up was the Mothership, and I mean, it looks like their anticipated batting order would, and this is different because you've got to wonder, I thought the Angels always led off with Mike Trout, but you know, Yunel Escobar batting first, he's righty, Daniel Nava switch hitting in left, and then Mike Trout in third, DH in his Pujols.
Yeah, actually, let me stop you now because I don't believe that's been updated. So, yeah, that's probably last year's. I don't think they've been doing a very good job with their updates because Daniel Nava isn't even scheduled to start in the Angels outfield this year. So, no surprise at all that the you know, good old Mickey Mouse Network isn't up to date on sports, because that's what they do. So,
well, I'm sure that the NBA
would
be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's all set up. Here's another guy, Dan. I've lost all faith in this guy. We got to go back to the Mets here. No matter what, I mean, even if I could get this guy for a dollar in an auction league, Dan, I just don't think I could take David Wright.
No.
So,
I think he still has what, five or six years left, a 7-year, $100 million extension.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think they'd be lucky. I mean, if he plays 100 games, you've got to consider that a great year out of him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's just been so injury prone. And, you know, this is still that neck that was bothering him. You know, he's working, you know, working off that. You know, I don't know. You know, then we'll go back to pitching here real quick. And this was an interesting one because it affected our opening day starters. You know, Chris Tillman had a really good first half for the Orioles last year. Struggled a little bit in the second half, but he's still their number one. You know, he's got that shoulder issue. It looks like it's going to cost him his opening day starting spot. Did you drop him down your board, or how do you, you know, where are you kind of ranking him?
He's got a shoulder issue?
Yeah, it says he received an injection in his right shoulder, and he just started playing catch this week.
That's rough. I mean, that's definitely not a good sign. He definitely falls down the board. I mean, you know, like we talked about, you've got 30 teams. We kind of threw out the opening day starters for all of them. I mean, I think he definitely falls third, fourth round.
You think still that high? I mean, I know we've got a 20-team league, but, you know, that still puts him in, what, the top 60, you know, 90, 120 players. You still think somebody jumps up there and takes him that high?
I think someone still will. They're going to panic.
Yeah, you know, there is a chance. I mean, the longer he sits out there, the better value he could become. You know, but this is – anytime it has to do with the throwing shoulder, I'm always a little leery. So, I just don't know. I mean, they expect him back – let me double-check here, make sure I got his return date right. They expect him back in early April, so it only looks like he's going to miss a start or two as of right now. But, those are one of those things, especially with pitchers, you know, that could linger. You know, then all of a sudden come June or July, he's got to miss two more starts because of it. And, you know, then all of a sudden he's missing a start a month. And, so that's my big concern, I think, with it. So, all right. Now this is an interesting one, Dan, because, you know, obviously this guy is going to play. It's just going to kind of be when. Wilson Ramos, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays signed him. Now, you know, obviously he's a catcher, but everybody expects him to be back in May as a designated hitter. You know, and, you know, obviously in our league he'll be a catcher, in every league he'll be a catcher. Even if he's a designated hitter, he'll still be listed as a catcher. You know, he's going to miss the first month, maybe a little more depending on when in May he comes back. You know, how long do you wait on a guy like that? I mean, obviously you're going to pick him, put him on your DL, and then replace him with another guy. But when do you pull the trigger? Do you try to wait real late, or are you afraid if this is a guy you want that somebody's going to go, oh, man, he's still out there in, like, the 10th round and take him?
I mean, I would wait until after the 10th round, but I think, like you said, if someone jumps up and takes him, that they're itching to fill that catcher position. So, and I mean, you know, Mr. Fantasy always gives me crap. And last year was probably the worst year that I've seen Buster Posey have, aside from not being able to play because of an injury. So, I don't know. I think if you're not able to land one of the top, you know, 3 to 5 catchers, you're better off just waiting till the later rounds and grabbing two that you could, you know, platoon as a fantasy goes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, like, this is an interesting one for, you know, me, because, you know, he could be a real steal depending on how long, you know, he's going to fall in your draft. And, you know, in, like, some leagues, you know, in these 8 to 10 team leagues, you know, there's a chance he's just going to be sitting out on the waiver wire come May. You know, obviously in our league, I believe somebody will pick him. But, you know, I mean, he could be a guy. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who's a quality hitter. You know, he was a contender for the NL batting title last season. You know, it was just too bad he got that horrible knee injury really late in the year. You know, this could be one of those guys, yeah, you're kind of going, hey, when do I pull the trigger on this guy? Because this could be interesting. So, you know, definitely a guy to watch. Then another guy here, Dan, this is another one of those guys. Oh, no, go ahead, finish up there.
You know, I really haven't taken a big look at their team, but with the two catchers that they have aside from Ramos, I find it interesting that he would be their DH, because the two guys don't seem to be, guys that they actually went after, like a Lobatone or something, who I believe is actually with the Nationals now, right? So.
Yeah, he is. So, you know. This is another guy, Dan, like I was saying, this is a guy I can't take this guy. You know, he's recovering now from right elbow surgery. They expect him back in June. That's Homer Bailey with the Reds. Dan, I can't get far enough away from this guy. Probably worse than David Wright.
The intercom was going. I mean, he's one of those guys that you go, oh, wow, I forgot about him.
You know, and he has a no-hitter to his credit. I believe he might have two. I know he's got one for sure, but, you know, I mean, you look at this guy, and, I mean, you know, he looked so good for them, and, you know, then it was kind of like they signed him to a big deal, and he hasn't been healthy since.
Yeah, well, and don't forget Philip Umber. No-hitter to his credit, too.
Yeah. Hey, Philip Umber has a perfect game to his credit. But, yeah, you know, I mean, but Bailey, you know, I mean, he looked like he was going to be a breakout guy for them. And, you know, I mean, they had a rotation. That rotation looked set up like it was going to be Cueto, Volquez, and Bailey. And, you know, they were going to contend. And, you know, Cueto's a Giant. Volquez, I think, is in Miami now. And Bailey's been hurt ever since.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and don't forget the wild card game where Cueto got hurt. And that pretty much ended the Reds.
Right. Yeah. So I got one more guy here, Dan. I actually picked this guy last year in our draft. I was pretty high on him, and he went out and got hurt right away. He pitched in two games, Dan. I had him for two innings. That's Glenn Perkins of the Minnesota Twins. You know, he was just my closer. He was my late closer guy that I picked up. You know, they're saying it's possible he's back for opening day. You know, when he's healthy, he's a fantastic closer. I mean, even on a bad team, you know, closers are going to get saves regardless. You know, how is he way down the list as a closer? You got him towards, you know, the bottom where he's 25 or more?
I think he's definitely, you mean 25 or more saves or...
Oh, no, 20 from 25 down. He's 20 best closer.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think the lack of faith in the Twins organization puts him down there. I think he's a guy that you supplement with if you're able to land another closer. You know, kind of it depends on what you're going for, I guess. And your league, if you have saves and holds or –
Yeah, because, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, closers are going to get saves. It's, you know, we kind of know, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, they're going to pick up their saves one way or the other. I mean, even a closer on a bad team gets, you know, 25-plus saves. So, yeah, you know, so it's definitely a... you know, an interesting scenario. And there is one more guy. I was surprised he wasn't on this list. You know, AJ Pollock, Dan, you know, he got hurt right before the season started last year. He came back and he got hurt again. You know, when he's healthy, he's one of the better center fielders in baseball. You know, he must be healthy because I didn't see him on the injury report. How concerned are you? You know, he's ranked really high in all the fantasy rankings. Is that warranted? I mean, I believe he's a top 10 outfielder in Yahoo. I believe so. When Mr. Fantasy and I were looking at that earlier, I think he's up there.
Yeah, well, Major League Baseball has him at 13.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, yeah, this is a guy who, I mean, he's had a year off.
Well, I think with an injury and having a year off, I think that actually kind of works in your favor.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in some ways it can. In other ways, you know, you come back and you, you know, some guys just don't ever regain their form.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not saying Pollock is going to be one of those guys. I mean, he's still young enough to obviously – you know, bounce back and have a great year and kind of justify that ranking. But, I got to tell you, Dan, if I'm picking in the middle of the first round and he's the top guy on our board, I'm not taking him. I can't justify taking him in the first round like that. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, hopefully I am. He goes out and has a great season. I mean, you know, I never wish anybody bad unless they're playing against, you know, my team. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting, or, you know, just weird to kind of, you know, they, here you go. You know, this guy's back, he's starting, he jumps right back up into the top, you know, whatever. And, you know, we mentioned it before, you know, there's Pablo Sandoval who jumps right back into a starter with the Red Sox, and, you know, he's buried in their rankings. So it's just kind of weird that, you know, and obviously, I mean, Pollock is a much better player than Sandoval, don't get me wrong. But for him just to slide right into the, you know, the top 10 like that, that's weird.
Where is Sandoval? I mean, is he buried in Red Sox rankings or rankings as a whole?
No, rankings as a whole. I found him on Yahoo. He is 1,221.
Oh, man.
You know, now, you know, we're talking about a guy here who's, you know, going to be a starting third baseman on a major league team, you know, unless something really goofy happens. But, you know, yeah, it's just kind of like there's, and I think that's part of my problem with rankings as a whole is, you know, everything is suggestive. You know, maybe the guy doing these rankings doesn't like the Red Sox, doesn't like Sandoval, so he gets a bad ranking. But in return, he's not worried about that with a guy like, you know, A.J. Pollock, who, you know, basically is coming back up pretty well.
Yeah, I'm not even bothering to look for him as the full ranking goes for MLB, but he's ranked 39 as far as third basemen go. And, I mean, Jed Yurko, Chase Headley, Trevor Plouffe, and Yoan Moncada are placed before him.
Yeah, and, you know, Moncada is probably going to start the year in the minors. Mm-hmm. You know, he may not come up at all. So, yeah, you know, so, yeah, it's
5 spots away from your guy, Luis Valbuena.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. Like I said, you know, I understand, you know, he's not a top 10 or, you know, probably even a top 20 first baseman, or third baseman, excuse me. He's probably, you know, I'll throw him down at 25. I mean, I would have to see who all the starters were before, you know, we actually kind of started throwing out rankings. But, you know, even so, I mean, he's not, you know, I'll be shocked if he's the 1,200th ranked player in baseball.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, it just
for the MLB rankings, the 20th ranked third baseman is Nick Castellanos from the Yankees, and then you've got Yan Gervais Velarde from the Padres at 21. But after that, I mean, Matt Duffy's down in Tampa at 25. You know, I think the Giants got rid of him for a reason, and I mean, Javi's ranked at 28, but we both know he's going to be the super utility guy, so forget his ranking.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of take him out of that third base thing. You're not looking at him as for being a third baseman. So it's pretty interesting. I still think he ranks higher. You know, like you said, at least 25.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, again, you know, it's one of these things. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, you know, as long as he's healthy and, you know, they play him, you know, there's always a chance, you know, these guys aren't going to play. It's one of those things we live with. But, you know, he's not going to be that bad. You know, I don't want, you know, I'm not going to say as your starter, but, you know, he's not going to be terrible.
No, and I don't mean to bring up superstition, but baseball's filled with it. And, you know, the Big Bambino curse is over with, obviously. But it seems like since Youkilis has been gone, they've had a lot of trouble at filling that third base spot solidly. You know, you got to wonder if it was so much him or so much as the Red Sox third base jinx.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you do wonder. I mean, you know. You know, obviously he didn't have a great first year there. You know, last year didn't get off to a good start. He ended up being out for the majority of the season. You know, and like you said, I mean, who knows? Maybe, that year off does him good. And, you know, I mean, obviously he's back in much better shape. You know, we've seen the photos. He looks very good. You know, I mean, who knows? You know, and again, I'm not saying, hey, you know, Pablo's the guy you need to draft as your starting third baseman. No, don't, you know, don't do that at all. You know, but, you know, I mean, he's that guy, you know, another one of those guys, if he's hanging around and it's really late, I'm going to take a guy who's a starter over a guy who's only going to play a day or two a week, because I'm going to get at bats out of the guy and see what he can do. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of baffling when, you know, you look at the rankings and, you know, I mean, I think you may have actually reached out to somebody before and asked them about it, and I don't think they ever responded to you. But, you know, I would just, you know, how did they decide this? You know, I mean, on the Yahoo rankings, Pablo's down there with guys like Christian Colon.
I mean, and like you said,
so,
in the pictures, he looks great coming back. I think part of the issue, too, is that, you know, he had a great career in San Francisco, but I think that when it comes down to it, they may have overpaid for what his skill set provides you. And I think that's the part of the issue.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I know we went over his regular season stats before. You know, he was never great, you know, as an everyday, you know, like I think the only time he hit 300 was his rookie year, you know, or maybe about his second year. I know he hit the home runs in his career in his second year. You know, that's just not who he is. I mean, where he made his money was in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the Red Sox get the postseason, it could be really interesting to see if he still kind of has that, you know, that goofy little kind of panda magic. And, you know, if the people in Boston would wear those hats, you know, and, you know, that's the thing. And the funny thing, Dan, is, you know, if he goes out in April and, you know, say he's super hot and he's hitting, you know, it is April. Say he gets off and he's hitting 380, manages to hit a couple bombs. Everybody in Boston's going to forget about what happened last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's all it takes. You know, as long as he comes back and he plays solid, there won't be any issues whatsoever.
And I promise when I go to Boston, if they have those, I'll be sure to pick you one up.
So, yeah, just kind of, you know, those lovely, lovely panda hats. I miss those things. So, but, yeah, you know, that's, you know, again, like I said, that's always my, you know, my weird thing is, you know, the rankings are just so damn, you know, subjective because obviously, you know, regardless of if you want to or not, like, you know, when you and I rank guys or, you know, like if we had Stu rank guys, all the Cub players would be at the top.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Stu was just telling me the other day how great John Jay was. Like, wait, we're talking about John Jay. And it's just kind of like, okay.
Well, you know, and to kind of put it in perspective, 20-team league, you and me, I wouldn't even draft him. He does not get drafted, and if he does, I mean, I don't know who's going to beat each other to the punch, but I believe that's going to be one of the guys you or I nominate kind of as a joke in the auction league just to kind of get him off the board.
Yeah. So just because somebody in our league is going to jump up being that he's a Cub and, you know, they're going to take him. So,
I mean, and to be honest, if you pay $10 to $15, you pay too much. I don't care if you're, you know, the money limit's 300 or 200.
Yeah, I got to go in and change that. I'm glad you said that. So,
oh. Well, you know what I mean, because a lot of the average auction rankings, they do, you know, MLB does about 260 as their average, and I know a lot of leagues you know, are around the 200. But regardless, if you got more money, because I think we can go up to like 500, we can go up to a lot more. But let's just say you had a $500 budget. I mean, I'm still not paying $15 for John Jay.
No, God no.
You know,
yeah, it would be.
he's a guy in May, you're going, oh crap, one of my guys is going to be out. You know, he's got the 7-day thing, or I forgot the new, I remember what the new protocol is. I think that's right, the 7-day concussion thing, or I don't remember if it was 5 days,
yes,
or whatever they changed instead of the 15-day. But I mean, even if you had a 15-day guy, you know, like Jorge Soler, who was on a 15-day DL for like 3 months,
yeah,
you know, that's when you go out and pick up John Jay.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I mean, it's nothing, you know, and the weird part is, like, for the Cubs, he's going to be very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll be the guy, you know, jumps in and, you know, fills in on defense for Kyle Schwarber, and, you know, there'll be a lot of things that he's going to do for the Cubs, you know, for the Cubs, but just as a fantasy guy, there's not a ton of value there. You know, he's just,
no,
he's not going to get the productivity.
And I don't remember what he did over in, was it San Diego, you said he was at. But, I mean, he's definitely a guy that I know you'd be looking at, just kind of throw him on your watch list because of the fact that he used to qualify at all three. Yes, for outfield specific.
Yeah. Yes, which makes us cooler than everybody else.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons I picked him up on my team a few years back when he was with the Cardinals, was because he was qualifying for all three positions.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, that's a big plus for me. I always like to have that one guy who can kind of, you know, fill that role. It makes your life a whole lot easier. So
yeah, and I think that's why I upset Mr. Fantasy with my Buster Posey, because he always, you know, you can't take a catcher. He's in the majors as a full-time catcher, but he has that first base qualifier. So if I take him early and I can't really land another, you know, quality first baseman, well, I could just go and scoop up another, you know, kind of middle-of-the-road catcher, maybe two catchers, and now I'm okay at the catcher first base position.
Yeah.
But do you think, you know, guys like him are kind of set zoned into the, you know, almost like your guys' money league where it's specific and you're locked in to what you do for the week? Do you think that changes, like, his perspective
yeah.
on things a little bit?
You know, I've often wondered if those guys have too big of an effect on, you know, the decisions he makes in his other leagues, but you know, it's tough. I mean, they're like that league, you know, you can be the greatest outfielder in the world, and the only one who's getting into drafted in the first round is Mike Trout. You know, it's just how the league works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scoring wise and everything, it doesn't matter. So, you know, you do wonder.
I mean, with that league for you guys, I mean, it's, over, you know, just talking to you guys about it over the past few years, it seems to be a little bit more pitcher dominated, where maybe you focus a little bit more on that before you focus on the rest.
Yeah, it is. Pitchers are huge. And, you know, that's what I was kind of telling, you know, Mr. Fantasy, the guy in front of us has now changed his thinking. You know, before he had decided he was going with Mookie Betts or Jose Altuve at number one. Well, he actually came to his senses, and he's going to go with Mike Trout or Clayton Kershaw. And, you know, that's what I told Mr. Fantasy right away is whatever he, you know, whoever he leaves us is who we take at number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially now, you know, with the Max Scherzer injury, Kershaw far and away becomes the number one pitcher by a wide margin. And that could be a really big deal. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, maybe somebody will notice it or, you know, something like that. But it's definitely, you know, definitely going to be a interesting there when things get rolling. So yeah. So you think a 10-second bid time is enough for the auction league, or should I keep it at 20?
I wish they did 15.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for that too. Well, you know, like nomination time, I wish it could go a lot less, but the lowest you can go is 30 seconds. So.
I don't know. I wish I could kind of break it down by round.
We'll leave it at 20 and see how it goes. That, you know, hopefully it won't be too bad. So yeah, we need the, we have one spot left open. So if you want to play in our auction league draft, we have one spot. That's it. We got 19 to 20 teams already filled in. And hopefully, you know, it's a good year. The Snake League filled up really fast. You know, I cleared it out where we had five openings and they all, they all disappeared very quickly. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, I noticed that. I got a ton of emails one day.
Yeah, that's because you're in all the leagues, so you get all the emails.
Well, I meant when those spots got filled. I was like, oh, wow. I mean, it was almost like you told me, you know, let's just say Monday night, and by Tuesday, it's like, whoa, we got the whole league filled up already.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was nice that it went as quick as it did. So, sometimes it does take a little while.
We lost the jerks who like to screw us. That's always good.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I mean, I'm hoping the new people, you know, play and stay up with it and all the other cool stuff.
Well, not just that. I meant like that one, I don't remember which league or which draft it was. It was, you know, I got home, I did all my stuff, made myself crazy. And I sit down, I log in and I call you. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I thought the draft was at 7:30, not 9:30.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The guy who dropped out right before the draft was going to start. So, you know, yeah, that's always fun to deal with. You know, luckily that's why I just started locking teams. You know, once we get to 20, I go in and lock the league because it's just, you know, it's just so much easier that way. So, you know, hopefully there won't be any big issue or anything like that going on this time. So we'll hopefully get through it all and we'll be ready to roll. So, but yeah, it'll be that time before we know it. I mean, the one, our one draft is all 42 days away and the other one's 43.
I got to hurry up and put that on the calendar so I could see the eye roll for my wife.
Yes. So yeah, you'll be locked in going, sorry, here's the baby. I can't help you right now.
But I mean, oddly, I don't know if it's you being able to adjust the timings on certain things, but, and plus I think, you know, this year, we'll, like you said, we'll have five more new people in each league, so that'll switch things up. But I feel like since we started, well, since I jumped in and, well, pretty much since we started the auction league, everyone's kind of gotten the hang of it. And you remember the first baseball auction league where I paid, I don't know why I keep remembering this, but I paid $63, which was like the highest bid that season for Miggy, you know, compared to what we do now. I believe that draft went 6+ hours, and now we've pretty much got them down, you know. So, and the snake draft seems to go by quickly.
Yeah, you know, the weird part is we could get it done even faster, and I'm sure everybody has these problems. You know, like if people were to leave the draft and they would just put their auto pick on, that would cut, you know, literally 30 seconds off of every pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd be done before we know it. and they just, you know, either they forget or, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, hell, I don't care. I'm out of the draft. Let them deal with it type of thing. You know, and it's just, you know, I'm sure, you know, we go through it in the money league, you know, where, and we're all together, you know, the majority of this league gets together to draft, except this year we're actually doing it online, which is going to be a fiasco, but you'll be sitting there just waiting for a guy to pick. And it'll be 5 minutes gone by and either he's fighting with his partner about something or he doesn't know it's his pick or, you know, he just can't decide between two players. And you're like, really? You know, because I mean, I don't know how you do it, but the minute I make one pick, I'm already looking ahead to the next pick.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of like, okay, you know, if this guy's around, I would love to have him. And, you know, obviously, you know that, like in our leagues, it's going to be about 20 players down in the Snake League. So, you know, you start looking down there going, okay, well, maybe this guy sneaks through and gets to me, or is it time to jump down and grab this guy? And I just wonder what other people do. You know, it's like, what are you paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and after about 10 rounds, you and I and Mr. Fantasy all on the phone, all of a sudden we start hearing, huh, he's still out there. Who?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is the exact opposite happens in our money league. A guy will be going, where's so-and-so? It's like, well, he got drafted 2 rounds ago. Oh, I didn't hear that one. You know, it's like, okay, you know, or, you know, where's this guy? Well, he was a first round pick. You missed it. You know, you know, it's just weird how the way, and again, I'm sure this happens in every league. I'm willing to bet every league goes through this stuff. It's just kind of funny when you hear it or you see it. It's just like, really? You didn't realize it was your turn, even though on your computer screen it says you're on deck.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, sometimes what gets me, though, is looking for another guy. And if the other, you know, when, like you said, when the auto picks come in and it kind of bounces too quickly, I'm still sitting here going, all right, I'm looking at these, I'm looking at this, and oh, crap, it's my turn. You know, and I just drafted an injured guy. But that only happens in basketball and hockey.
Yeah, which you always have a tendency to do. I don't know how you always find the injured guys when it comes to that. So it's like Dan is always going to get one injured guy in his basketball league. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, damn Yahoo doesn't update it right away.
Yeah, you know. But it'll be. We'll see how it goes. Oh, and all right, the music means that Dan and I are taking off. Look at that. We get done in a half hour early. Now, you know the deal. Dan gets the weekend off, but Mr. Fantasy is here Sunday for 2 big hours of not only what. While we're away, get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow, but check out the other content over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter. You know the deal there. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.